We celebrate the Feast of St. Damian of Molokai today. It's an optional memorial, but he's such a perfect image for what I was just talking about in the conference, how the Holy Spirit enters into the depths of our misery and lives there. And it's precisely what St. Damian did as he entered into the depths of misery on the island of Molokai and lived there. Allow me to just tell you the story, to read you parts of the story of St. Damian of Molokai, beginning with a description of what Molokai was like and what was the experience of one of the natives. When the white man landed on the Hawaiian Islands, he brought a lot of bad things with him. One of them was leprosy that followed his arrival onto the Hawaiian Islands, and a number of native people were affected. A number of native people ended up in that colony in Molokai. Here's the description of one, Karokina, mother of three children. She lived in a tiny fishing village on the island of Hawaii. Her life was simple, serene. Her home, a lean-to built of palm branches. Affection, laughter, and song characterized Karokina's home life. She loved to watch the sun cast down silver jewels of light upon the green ocean. She had the illness. She knew a few years ago when her hand brushed against a smoldering log, and she felt no pain. The terrible illness had begun its frightful work. Her face's gentle features gradually withered, her eyes narrowed, her ears enlarged. The disease ate her energy. She knew fever and weakness. Her husband and children sorrowed at her plight and did all they could to comfort her. And of course they kept her at home. Her husband heard that the government was rounding up lepers and sending them to Molokai. How cruel, he complained to his neighbors, to separate mother or father or children from home when they need the family most. If the white man wishes to treat his sick differently than Hawaiians do, why doesn't he go away and leave us alone? He forced his cruel illness on us, and now he is forcing his brutal cures. There were other lepers in Karo's village. Some heard the white man coming and hid in the great volcano caves. Others found hiding places and holes in the jungle floor. But for Karo, it was too late. The hunters took her at gunpoint to a government schooner. Her husband tried to stop them, but he was helpless. Her children wailed and wept piteous tears of despair. White men spoke of their God as a God of mercy, yet they showed no mercy. Her captors took her to Honolulu. They herded her together with lepers from other islands. Some were more disfigured and ill than she was. Many could not walk. Others could barely crawl. But the police forced them all on board the ship that was to take them to Molokai in this February of 1873. The ship's crew looked on the unfortunates with horror. After several hours on sea, full of weeping, crying, and terrorized sick, they arrived at Molokai's colony's shore. There was no harbor, no dock. The captain and crew, afraid to bring the vessel too close to the rocky beach, drove and hurled the lepers into the surf. Some drowned, others miraculously survived. On torn and bleeding feet, they stumbled up on the harsh volcanic rock, numb and cold. There was no one to greet them, no one to warm them. Many survived the pounding surf only to die from exhaustion on the inhospitable beach. Karo dragged herself to shore. Eventually she found a cave to shelter her shivering body. Wild fruit helped nourish her. There was little food. She soon joined another group of lepers. They told her to forget home. All of them were condemned. They might as well reach for whatever wild joys they could possess before merciful death claimed them. In this place, a man advised Karo, there is no law. Sexual immorality, brawling, drunkenness, robberies, orgiastic dancing, fueled by liquor made from tree roots, characterized the lives of lepers. Nobody cared. When lepers died, their poor bodies were thrown into graves so shallow that pigs and dogs grew fat, feasting on their flesh. Karo despaired and died. And maybe we have that feeling in our interior. Hopefully not. But it is true that there's a part of us that can form that sort of cyst where a lot of ugly things happen. But fortunately, the Holy Spirit gives us exterior images to give us courage about the interior image. The way that he enters into that place within us is like the way that St. Damian ended up in this place. St. Damian volunteered to go and live with the lepers in Molokai. The apostolic vicar, Bishop Magre, accompanied Damian to Molokai. The bishop proudly presented the new pastor to the Catholic lepers. The joy of their welcome and Damian's excitement upon finally arriving at Molokai dimmed the fact that he carried with him little more than his breviary. Sacred Heart Religious previously had built a tiny chapel on Molokai and had dedicated it to St. Philomena. For his first rectory, Damian used the shelter of a pandanus tree beside the little church. The pandanus offered hospitality to all passing creatures, centipedes, scorpions, ants, roaches, finally fleas. Cats, dogs, and sheep found shelter under the tree's kind branches. Damian settled in comfortably. A large rock on the side of the tree served as his dinner table. During these first weeks, the new missionary took normal precautions to avoid contagion. With the lepers' help, Damian added the rear wing to Molokai's chapel. He also built a rectory. He was a skillful carpenter. No construction project daunted him. If Damian protected his body, there was nothing he could do to protect his eyes or ears or sense of smell from the shock of contact with the leper. The priest had opened a door to hell. Victims of the disease were all about him, their bodies in ruins, their faces ravaged and smashed by the coriaceous bacillus of leprosy. The constant coughing of the sick was the colony's most familiar sound. Gathering up his enormous resources of courage, Damian began to approach the lepers one by one. Their breath was fetid, their bodies already in a state of corruption, exuded a most foul odor. One of his first visits was to a young girl. He had found that worms had eaten her whole side. "Many a time," he wrote as he recalled these first days, "in fulfilling my priestly duties at the lepers' homes, I have been obliged not only to close my nostrils, but to remain outside to breathe fresh air. To counteract the bad smell, I got myself accustomed to the use of tobacco. The smell of the pipe preserved me somewhat from carrying in my clothes the obnoxious odor of our lepers." Molokai was a colony of shame, peopled by lost souls and smashed bodies. Medical care was minimal. Even if decent care were provided, Hawaiians distrusted the white man's medicine, preferring their own witch doctors. White doctors sporadically appeared at government expense. These physicians lived in terror of contagion. One doctor examined lepers' wounds by lifting their bandages with his cane. Another left medicine on a table where lepers could collect it without touching him. Life was grotesque on Molokai. Molokai was a chamber of horrors. Under Damien's vigorous lead, however, a sense of dignity and joy and order replaced Molokai's despair and lawlessness. Neat, painted cottages, many of which the priest himself constructed, replaced the colony's miserable shacks. In all things, his lepers came first. It would be a mistake, however, to think of Damian as a single-minded fanatic. He was a human being who was quick to smile, pleasant disposition, open and frank countenance. No one could deny that he was a headstrong person, but no one who knew him could deny that he was a man of warm and tender heart. He quickly forgave injuries and never bore a grudge. Damian was completely aware of the Hawaiians' childlike nature. Simple, generous, hospitable people, the Hawaiians were most attractive. They remained, however, children of Adam and could be licentious, lazy, and at times mean-spirited. Damian was not blind to their defects. Drinkers and dancers met in a remote area of the leper colony called the Crazy Pen. From time to time, Damian raided this scabrous spot, and with his walking stick, he broke up dancing and knocked over liquor bottles. The hilarious feasters made a quick getaway from the place through the back door to escape Damien's big stick. He would not hesitate to lay it on good and hard on the poor hapless one who happened to come within reach of his cane. His disciplinary measures did not hurt church attendance. The lepers came to St. Philomena's in such numbers that he had to enlarge the chapel. But even expanded facilities could not contain the worshippers. On Sundays, overflow crowds peered with the church through the church windows to participate in divine services. Visitors never forgot the sights and sounds of a Sunday Mass at St. Philomena's Chapel. Damien, clear-eyed and devout, stood at the altar, strong, muscular, a picture of vitality and health. The priest's face was kind and his concern for the people evident. His lepers gathered around him on the altar. Some were blind. They constantly coughed and expectorated. The odor was overpowering. Yet Damien never once wavered or showed his disgust. Damien placed, of all things, poor boxes in the church. Because the blind often missed the slot, the pastor placed a little bell inside the poor box. When the sightless leper's coin had dropped safely into the box, the bell rang. Hawaiians loved to sing, and St. Philomena's choir had no shortage of candidates. Because leprosy often attacked vocal cords, leper voices produced peculiar sounds. Nevertheless, the choir sang joyfully. Damien entered in to the leper colony in a way that the Holy Spirit enters into our hearts, although it's commingled with this poverty and our own brokenness and sinfulness, our shame. And yet, there's a sense of conscience, a good big stick to beat us when we start going in the wrong direction, but also the joy and laughter, the goodness and warmth of the presence of the Holy Spirit, that tenderness. And when he sets up home in us, he commits himself to us forever, as St. Damien also did. In December 1884, while soaking his feet in extremely hot water, Father Damien experienced no sensation of pain or heat. The evil disease he had battled for so long now claimed him. In his last years, he engaged in a flurry of activity. He hastened to complete many building projects, enlarge his orphanages, organize his work. As death approached, Father Damien engaged in a flurry of activity. He worked as much as his wounded and broken body would permit him. He wrote his bishop, entreating not to be dispensed from the obligation of the breviary, which he continued to recite as best he could as his eyes failed. The disease invading his windpipe progressed to such an extent that it kept him from sleeping more than an hour or two at night. His voice was reduced to a raucous whisper. Leprosy was in his throat, his lungs, his stomach, his intestines. After ravaging his body outwardly, it was now destroying him from within. As the end drew near, there were priests of his own congregation to hear his confession. They came with the Franciscan sisters, who were led by St. Mary Ann Cope, and Father Damien had promised them if they came, they would never be affected by leprosy. And to this day, none of those sisters were ever contracted leprosy. The leper priest requested a funeral pall, which the sisters made and delivered. It arrived the same day. Two more weeks of suffering, and April 15th, 1889, Damien died. It was Holy Week. Some weeks before, Damien had said that the Lord wanted him to spend this Easter in heaven. As we allow the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts, as St. Damien went into that leper colony, setting up shop and bringing the rejoicing, the joy, the light, the tenderness, the goodness of his presence. And as we receive the Lord in Holy Communion, let us allow that transforming effect to go deep within us and infuse us with hope. Even in contracting the disease, St. Damien pushed forward, completing those building projects, and gave all of those around him hope, a virtue that we need so deeply to face the trials and difficulties that come to us.